Our scripture reading tonight is found in John 15, John chapter 15, and our text words will be from verse 1 through verse 8, but at this time I'd like to read the entire chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The world hates you. No, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The heavens and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, we know that the church as an institution, as a gathered multitude and people, has fallen on hard times among many. Many will desire to be spiritual, and yet you ask if they go to church and they almost laugh at you. I don't need the church. I can worship where I am. Others will more brazenly, when you speak of the church, say that the church is all about money and power. And people in the church, pastors and priests and archbishops and the Pope, it's one big scam, one big attraction for people's money. And sadly, too often, they've been right. And others just say, well, the church is a relic of the past. It's maybe not bad, but it's not 21st century. I wonder what our view of the church is. To be here because we have to be? To be here because this is where we always go to on Sundays? What is your appreciation for the church? And maybe you say, I'm speaking to the choir. You're here. You're in the church. Well, tonight I hope to reinvigorate and to, with the blessing of the Spirit, renew in our minds the importance of the church. The gathered church, the visible church, the church here in this place, but also the true church. The church which is those who have been chosen by God from all eternity in Christ, who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus, that true saving faith, and the church that is being lived in by the Spirit, useful for Him in this world. And this transcends denominations, this transcends nations. But that true church must be precious. Precious to our hearts, even as it's so precious to the Lord God. And we often think of statements, especially the I am statements of Jesus as we read them in the Gospel of John. Children, do you know how many I am statements there are in the Gospel of John? There's 7 of them. And they range from, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And these aren't just statements about Jesus' identity, who He is. They are that. Especially clear statements that He is God. I am Jehovah. But these are also statements about what it is to be in union and fellowship with Jesus. That Him as the bread of life can satisfy and will satisfy all those who partake of Him by faith. That He as the light of the world, those who are united to Him will not walk in darkness. They will have the light of life. Those who are in union with the Good Shepherd will have His protection and His keeping and His feeding and will be following the Good Shepherd. Those who are members of the One who is the resurrection and the life, they may die, yet they live. And those who live and believe will never die because they have a life in Christ that is imperishable. So every statement made about Jesus in these I am statements is an equally important statement made about those who are belonging to Jesus. And so what is the point of this statement that we're considering tonight? I am the true vine. What it means to belong. To belong to Jesus Christ as a member of the true church. That's what I declare to you, the value of abiding in Christ. The value of those belonging to those that also are abiding in Christ as members of Him. This is not merely a volunteer organization. This is not merely something that passes time and becomes irrelevant. This is sharing in the life that is in Christ, that He has secured Himself and that He gives freely and abundantly. to those whom He will. So our theme is the true church. 3 points: the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Spirit. So firstly, the work of the Father. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And then at the end of our text, but by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So we see Jesus, as He speaks these words about the vine, has in mind His Father. And this makes us ask the question, what is the vine? Well, I opened up with the call to worship from Psalm 80. And there the psalmist speaks of God's work among Israel as taking them out of Egypt and planting them as a vine in the promised land, expecting them to grow and to flourish, to fill the land and to overfill it, as it were, to spread. And yet the psalmist there laments. He's sad. People have plucked away at this vine, and people are, our nations have taken branches off from the vine, and the vine is left, as it were, as a stump. Not only is it not filling the land, it's barely eking out a survival, an existence. And so the prayer is, revive us. Stir up our growth. Renew us so that we become what God had intended for us to be. The psalmist is praying for there. Vines in Jesus' day would be a very common analogy. It would be the grapevine, and it was a slender plant that grew along the ground, and then it would climb up supports by shooting out tendrils, and it would wrap itself around the support, and it would climb up further. And the precious fruit would be the grapes, which would be used for wine, and be pressed, and bring joy to many. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus saying is that Israel was not the true vine that God the Father's purpose centered on. Israel was used by God over history. But Jesus says, I am the true vine. The Father sent me. The Father gave me His only Son. The Father tends to everything pertaining to me and to my people. My Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who cares for everything pertaining to this precious vine, to Christ, His Son. Other translations have the idea of He's the husbandman. He's the one who really promotes the growth of the vine, who really watches for the well-being of the vine, who is acutely interested in the prospering and success of that vine. So with regard to the work of the Father, we see that all of His purposes ultimately run through His Son. But the Father delights in His Son. The Father orients everything so that the Son would be magnified and glorified, and through the Son's glory, the Father would be glorified. Imagine a vine dresser, Imagine one who has this precious vine that's shooting up, that's putting up shoots along the support and grapes being formed. How would that caretaker of that vine watch out for animals that would be plucking the precious grapes? How it would look, he would look out at the leaves to see any damaging diseases that could impact the vine, minimize fruitfulness. The Father works His purpose through His Son. And Jesus can say in full understanding of why He was there, I am the true vine. The Father is working through me. And this should focus us. Focus us on Christ. Focus us on the one the Father sent to do the will of the Father. And notice also the superintendence of the Father in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. The Father is running His purposes through His Son, and He understands the entire scheme of those shoots that are living off the vine and bearing fruit. They're bearing grapes, precious grapes. He knows where they are, and He will seek to it that those shoots and those branches will bear abundantly more fruit. The Father's purpose in the Son will accomplish great things. You can wonder, look at the visible church, and we can wonder what's going to happen to it. What's going to happen to it in 10 years, in 25 years, in 100 years? We might think of it going down and growing smaller. We don't know. But we do know that the Father wills that those who are connected to the vine will bear fruit abundantly, will live lives reflective of the life that He gives through His Son, that it may bear more fruit. The Father superintends, He sees the grapevine, and He says, these are fruit-bearing branches, and they will grow. And they will multiply. But then He also sees those branches that don't have any fruit. He takes away. He takes them away. Often it's referred to as candlestick being removed. Not a fruitful branch, taking up space, even taking up precious resources from the roots. Rather than sending it into the fruit to make the berries lush and big, the grapes tasty and flavorful. They take up special, precious nutrients for no use. He removes. So the point here in verse 2 is the preciousness of those branches to the Father that are fruitful. Oh, how He delights in them. Oh, how He will multiply them. And what a blessing it is in the church of Jesus Christ to be fruitful. To indicate, as we'll see later, what this fruit is, to bring it forth abundantly. And the last thing about the work of the Father, other than that it centers on Christ and that He delights in the fruitfulness of His church. We turn to verse 8. The glory of the Father. By this is my Father glorified. That's the reason there is a church. That's the reason there's a vine. That's the reason there are branches bearing fruit. All for what purpose? The glory of the Father. The fact that the Father, as God the Father, can be magnified and praised. Church isn't about people, the human race. Church serves the glory of God. By this, my Father is glorified. Those who often say the church is, I don't need the church, are looking out for themselves, centered on what they want and what they don't want, but to seek the glory of the Father. How He uses the true church to promote that glory and to show forth that glory. So the true church is founded by the Father. But secondly, there's the work of the Son. There's the work of the Son. And we see this in verses 3 through 7. 3 through 7, the work of the Son, especially captured by the call to abide or to remain in Him. And what this portrays is, this portrays a connection to the One who is the true vine, to the One who is the main source of life. The One who would support life, the One who would supply nutrients, the One who would bring about fruitfulness. And the word abide is found repeatedly. Abide in me and I in you. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So this is a very important conception. What does it mean to abide? It means to remain, to be connected to the vine. Children, if you are told to stay somewhere, stay in the car. I'm just going to go and pick this up and be back soon. You don't run out. You stay there. That's where you need to be. That's where it's safe for you. That's where your parents want you. Well, branches need to stay connected to the main grapevine. If they are cut off, if they are lopped off, what will they do? They will die. What will happen to their little grape berries that are growing? They will shrivel up and be no good. Remain, stay connected to the true vine. But you will notice that this is two-way. Abide in me and I in you. He who abides in me, verse 5, and I in him. If anyone does not abide in me, they will be cast out. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you. So it's the believer united to Christ, abiding in Christ, connected to Christ by faith, but it's also Christ pouring out His life into the believer. And what a precious, strong bond that is. Christ in the believer, and the believer in Christ, and how safe, how secure, how fruitful that bond is. And notice, first of all, the importance of the vine, of abiding in the vine for fruitfulness. There is no bearing of grapes apart from being connected to the vine. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Christ says, I am the source of your fruitfulness. I am the nutrition you need. I am the strength for you to live and be fruitful. You will not find fruitfulness in any other connection than in being connected to the vine. How is Christ the source of fruitfulness? But He is the risen, living Savior. He is the one who could speak this in the upper room before He would go the way of death. He would be cut off from the land of the living, and yet He would shoot forth from the grave, alive. He is the life-giving Spirit. He is the Savior who gives life. And dear ones, if you are outside of Christ, you have a physical life, but you don't have spiritual life. And the spiritual life is only to be found in Christ. Except you abide in Him and He in you. You're dead. And you will not bring forth fruit. Then we have also the realization that the believer's life ongoingly flows from Christ. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Christ is not just the source of life, but Christ is the strength of life. He is the one who sustains the church. Without union with her head, the church would perish. But because of life in Christ, because of Him who says, without me you can do nothing, we can say with Paul, if we are believers, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is the strength of the believer's life. And then Christ is also the one who searches our life. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. To have a place among the vine, but to not have fruit, to not have a connection, will lead the branch to the fire. What a solemn warning that those who have a show in the vine are not all, sadly, necessarily connected to the vine. Some can be mere pretenders. Mere, oh, if I come close, maybe some of it will rub off on me. But I'm not truly believing in Christ. But then there's the other side. That's the warning side. Searches us. But then there's the comforting side. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. There's the warning of not being fruitful and being cast off into the burning. And there's the promise of being indwelled by the word of Christ. Of having the power of Christ at work through you. What a joy to belong body and soul, in life and in death, to the faithful Savior. And Jesus could say, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you in verse 3. I have spoken to you in John 13 previously. I will speak in the high priestly prayer in John 17. You are cleansed. What a promise. Christ works through His Word. So the work of the Son is to give life. That's the work of the Son, to give life. And the calling upon you and the calling of me is to abide, to remain by faith in Him. Do you live? Can you say with Paul, for me to live is Christ? He is the source of my life. He is the strength of my life. He searches me and knows who I am, if I am a pretender, if I really am having His words dwell richly in me. Well, now we come to the work of the Spirit in the true church. The Father works in sending His Son and centering His purpose upon His Son as the vine. The Son works in drawing people to abide in Him and giving them His life. The Spirit works in bringing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, fruitfulness, a life of Christian grace, a life of indicating that we are connected to the vine. You ask, how can I know if I'm connected to the vine? Are you bringing forth fruit? Does your life show by your fruits you will know them? What are some of the fruits? Let me mention four. First is a love for the Lord, a love for the Father. Seeking that we would grow in this love. And this is evidenced in appreciating the care the Father takes for His vine and the price the Son paid so that His vine can have life. Oh, to love God. To love others. It's not just a single branch off the vine, us and us alone, but to love the entire vine, to love those that are connected to Christ. Do you show a love for the brothers and sisters in the Lord? Whoever they are, however they may pray, however they may worship, if you can discern that they seek to follow the Word of God, that they delight in serving the Lord Jesus Christ and professing His name. And that's where Christ goes to after verse 7 and or after verse 8 and verse 9 and following, the love that will mark branches that are bearing fruit. I hope you're convicted as I am how so often the church is a place where love wanes. We see each other week in and week out. We know each other's struggles. We can become so complacent. To be a place and a people, a church where love dwells richly. It's a place where vines and branches are bearing fruit. And it will be fruitful to the extending of the church as well, because people will see they love each other. By this, all men may know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. A second fruit of the Spirit is the joy that He gives. Verse 11, These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Joy in saving relationship with Christ. Joy in brotherly and sisterly relationship together. How joyful the true church should be to belong to the vine. Yes, we have things that are hard and painful. The pruning, the casting off, as it were, into the fire. But oh, the joy, the fruitfulness of members, and the call to live together through this life should bring joy. A third fruit of the Spirit is hope. Hope. There is always hope for the vine. Why? Because of how she looks? No. But because of God's purpose, her place in God's purpose. God sent the true vine into this earth, and He will have living branches connected to Him. There's hope. And tonight, if you're wondering, what about me? There's hope for you. The Word comes to you. The name of Christ is declared to you. Believe on Him, and you will live. But you say, it's impossible. You're right. From your side, it's impossible. But remember the Word of Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. But inversely, with me, you can do all things. Life in the church is never hopeless. But we need to repent. We need to seek the Lord. We need to believe on His Son. We need to live for Him. What a glorious hope the Spirit works. And lastly, the fruit of the Spirit is the fullness of fruitfulness that will come. When will that come? Sadly, not in this life, but in the life to come. There, every believer will be perfectly and eternally abiding in the true vine. And there, the fullness of fruit, much fruit, more fruit, abundance of fruit will be gathered. All for the praise of our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the true church doesn't depend upon, for her existence, upon people. Doesn't depend upon pastors. Depends upon the living God. And in depending upon her future is bright. Depending upon God, her future is bright. And I pray that your life bears abundant fruit. Amen. Let's pray. We ask, O Lord, for the growth of the true church, that even in this congregation Thou wilt extend this flock, deepening her roots and solidifying her faith in Christ, but also extending and multiplying branches that are fruitful. Lord, raise up from this flock those that will be servants of Thine, those who will be devoted mothers and wives, consecrated ministers and office bearers and workers for Thy kingdom. That the true church, the church would be richly blessed and prospering well. And we ask as well for those places in the world where the church is in decline and where so many things, even in our land, have crept in to the church. We bemoan the state of thy bride. Purify her, refine her. Grant that the church would be again what thou hast willed her to be. Followers of Christ, fruit-bearing people for thy glory. And in this week, help us to be fruitful, to be loving, to be joyful, to be people of hope, to be those who look for the abundance of fruit that will come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.